You are listening to 91.5 FM, WMIE.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the teaching ministry of Bible teacher and translator Dr. Paul Esposito and Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. Dr. Esposito is the translator of the English Majority Text, New Testament, as well as the Apostles' Bible, a modern English translation of the Greek Septuagint, Old Testament, both available through Amazon Publishing. And now here with today's broadcast is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, the senior pastor here of Island Community Church. Along with my associate pastor, Darren Solano, we greet you here today. Happy Wednesday. Thank God it's already Wednesday, hump day, halfway through this week. That means we have service tonight, thank God. And there's no better place to be than once again in God's house. And I invite you guys to church here tonight. If you are new to the area, or if you don't have a church home, or if your church does not meet on Wednesday nights, I cordially invite you to attend our service here tonight. It's much more informal on a Wednesday night. We roll out the dry erase board, and my associate pastor, Darren Solana, is teaching that this week. He's wrapping up a series here in 2 Thessalonians, and he's going to be in chapter 3, and you guys are invited. As a matter of fact, if you've tuned in to the 5:30 rebroadcast, you still have 28 minutes to make it to Island. Now, we are at 1000 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island, 6 o'clock tonight. The Facebook feed will turn on live right at 6 o'clock, but I invite you guys to attend here tonight. We would love to see you anytime, and the Word of God is an excellent time, and I invite you. We would love to see you here tonight. Now, here on the radio, we're in the 20th chapter of Acts. The first half of this sermon, we were looking at the evidence that the Pharisees knew exactly who Jesus was. I know, what does that have to do with Acts? But anyway, that's where we started on this. I said this because the Jews keep dogging Paul, and they follow him from place to place trying to destroy him. And I've made the point in this sermon that these Pharisees knew exactly who Jesus is. And who he was. They knew he was the Messiah. They knew he was the Son of God. Yesterday's program, we looked at the evidence of that, the evidence that they knew who he was by the things that they said, right? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, the Lord Jesus said. Now, here today, we're going to get to the second part of this, and this will be primarily in Acts chapter 20. So let's get into the word. Lord willing, we'll see you tonight. We'll be back with the book of Revelation here Thursday and Friday. Acts chapter 21, probably this coming Sunday. So those are some of the things coming on here at Island Community Church. Have a blessed day. Let's get into the word. All too well who Jesus is. And you too have to make a choice. Not just the Pharisees, but you as well. You don't have to be perfect. You just need to make a choice. You need to just believe God at his word. That's all that's required of you. He's presented the evidence to you. You know Jesus Christ is Lord. This book was written by eyewitnesses who saw him alive after he died. All that's required of you is to believe God at his word and to believe that this man in the glory is the Son of God. And that by calling on his name, you too can have eternal life. That's all you have to do. He's looking for a few good men, women, and children who will believe him at his word and will do what he says. Now, one last thing here. Let me show you the consequences for refusing the love of God shown to you through his Son. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. Okay, when he says lawless one, he's talking about the Antichrist, who we also call sometimes the man of sin. So that's who he's referring to. He's talking about the end of the age when the Antichrist is on the scene. Now, I put it to you just a minute ago. This is the consequences for refusing the love of God in your life.
Okay? Verse 9. Now the coming of the Antichrist is according to the working of Satan, with all powers, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among, meaning he's deceived people that are going to die. People at the end of the age are going to be tricked and deceived. No one's willingly going to walk to hell. They're going to be deceived. They're going to think that something is something, while something is actually, something else. Unrighteous deception among those who perish. Notice the next word. It's the word because. Do you see that? Because they did not receive love. You see, you're not going to die at the end of the age for your sins, because someone else already died for your sins. All you have to do is receive him. Jesus died in your place. The substitutionary death of Jesus Christ. Jesus comes in and says, I will exchange to you my perfect righteousness and holiness, and I'll take your sins from you. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. That's what he's offering here today. That's what he means here by love. God would let and allow and send. They had a camp meeting up in heaven, and the decision was the Son of God had to die. Because he loves you. Jesus, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. It's the most easiestly to remember, recognizable sentence in the history of the universe. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Love! That's what hangs over humanity today. The love of God. What do you do with the love of God? I'll take your sins in exchange for my righteousness. When God looks at you and sees his Son and says, enter into the joy of your Lord. We read in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, it says, everyone who overcomes, I will grant to them to sit with me on my throne. As I also overcame and sat down with my heavenly Father on his throne. Now that sounds like pretty good news to me. What do you think? Those are some examples of the love of God. Now, here's the consequences for not receiving that or believing it. Now, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth so that they might be saved. And for this reason, that is, refusing love. For this reason, God will send them a strong delusion so that they will believe the lie. Now, what the lie is, you just got to go up a couple of verses later in your own studies. Read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4, where the Antichrist sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's the lie. Is believing this man with whom he says that he is. He sits as God in a rebuilt temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So for this reason, God will send them a strong delusion so that they should believe the lie and so that they all might be condemned. The King James Version says damned, who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. All I can say to that is receive the love of God today. If you're upset that God loves you, Let me encourage you today that you've been deceived. You've been deceived if you think that way. Who is ever upset that God loves them? God loves you and wants you to spend eternity with Him. He's provided the way, and the way is His Son, who said, "I am the way and the truth and the life." Then He says, no one can go to Jehovah except through Him. So that's the end result at the end of the age, perhaps in your lifetime, at least I believe in the lifetime of your children or grandchildren. Okay, let me move on here now. Now Jesus, even on the cross, said, He said, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." So these are the dangers of knowing who Jesus is, but refusing Him anyway, refusing to confess. We read of one man refusing because he had a lot of money, and the Lord told him to give it all away and to follow Him. Remember the text I quoted a moment ago, John 12:42. "Nevertheless, among the rulers, many believed in Him, but because of the Pharisees, they refused to confess Him, lest they should be thrown out of the synagogue. For they loved the praises of men more than the praise of God." Now, Darren said this in my office this past week. He said to me, "Believing is not enough. You've got to confess." And he's right. That's why we read in the Bible, Romans chapter 10, verse 9, "If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved." Which is another reason why baptism is so important. The Lord Jesus said, "Whoever confesses," here we go again, "whoever confesses Me before men, him I will confess before My Father, which is in heaven. But whoever denies Me before men, him I will also deny before My Father, which is in heaven." That's Matthew 10:32. All right, so that's why we believe the Pharisees knew who Jesus was. And imagine that, knowing who He was and is, but refusing to confess that. All right, now let's go back to the book of Acts. Let's go back to chapter 20. Now we'll pick it up in verse 7. "Now on the first day of the week," notice now, the churches were meeting on Sunday now, not on Saturday, okay? We see it now. That's what He told when He was in Corinth. He said, "Now on the first day of the week, when they pass around the offering plate, don't forget the poor people down there in Jerusalem that don't have two sticks to rub together." Well, that's a loose paraphrase of what He said. But on the first day of the week's not a paraphrase. The church met on Sunday. "Now, on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread," right? "To do this in remembrance of Me," right? That's what they did. "Paul, ready to depart the next day, he spoke to them and continued his message until midnight." All right, now check out this long-winded preacher. Verse 8. "Now there were many lamps in the upper room where they were gathered together, and in the window sat a certain young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep. He was overcome by sleep." You see, I got a problem, or I got something to fix that problem around here. I just crown you with my gavel here if you fall asleep. No, I'm only kidding. I would never do that. Nice, quiet guy like me, I would never do that. So, this is verse 9. "Sinking into a deep sleep, he was overcome by sleep. And as Paul continued speaking, he fell down from the third story, and he was taken up," D-E-A-D, "dead." So this young guy falls asleep at Paul's teaching, falls out of a third story window, and apparently dies. Verse 10, "But Paul went down, he fell on him," same as what Elijah did when they brought to him the child that had died. He stretched himself out over that child. Now it sort of looks like Paul's doing the same thing as Elijah. "Paul went down, he fell on him and embraced him, and said, "Do not trouble yourself, for his life is in him." Now when he had come up, had broken bread and eaten, and talked a long while, even until daybreak, he departed. And they brought the young man in alive, and they were not a little bit comforted. Boy, there's the understatement of the day, right? Guy falls out of a third-story building. Lord only knows what happened to him. What, did he break his neck or something? So it says they were a little bit comforted, I'm sure. So now we've seen a Son of God raise the dead. Naturally, he's God. We've seen Peter raise the dead. Now we're seeing Paul raise the dead as well. These men had extraordinary powers. And that's why all these charlatans out here in the world today want to call themselves apostles as well. We read in chapter 8 of Acts of someone named Simon the sorcerer, who when he saw the apostles laying hands on people, they received the Holy Spirit, he offered them money and said, "Give me this great power also, so that on anyone I lay hands, they too may receive the Holy Spirit." See, people crave power, from politicians to Pharisees to people in the church who think they can go around raising the dead like Peter and Paul did. Now, I'll say it once again. I've been saying it for 13 years in here. We are not living in the book of Acts anymore. The book of Acts is a historical book. I do not have the power to raise up someone from the dead. But I am able to pray for someone. God, the one that has that power. I'm not going to limit what God can do. But Peter and Paul, they did it at will. They were special. Now let's go down to verse 17 and let's finish this chapter 20. Now from Miletus, Paul had sent to Ephesus, and he called for the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, "You know from the first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews, how I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you, and I taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to Jews and to Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ." All right, so two things. Number one, repentance towards God. For he's the offended party. Naturally, he's God. And he tells us the same as he told Abraham 4,000 years earlier. He said, "Walk before me and be blameless." Look, you and I fall short on that commandment, right? And faith towards, or faith in, Greek word ice means in, like baptized ice Christon, into Christ. This is faith in Christ. Because Jesus is the only way to have your sins atoned for. So repentance towards God, faith in Jesus Christ. The atonement for your sins is only found in one place, blood, in the blood of Christ. Without the shedding of blood, we read in the Bible, there's no forgiveness of sin. Someone has to die to pay the price. So, God, I've sinned against you. I gladly receive your pardon today. I repent. I confess Jesus is Lord and he's my Lord. All right, verse 22. "And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that'll happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies." So I would say through other people. And his own conscience. God speaks to you through your conscience. So the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Scoop, there it is. To bear witness, that is to testify, as if in court, on a stack of Bibles to the gospel. Now, gospel means good news. The good news of the grace of God. That's his ministry. And what exactly is that, the grace of God? Here's a good acronym for grace. That is God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace. The good news of the grace of God is this. God has declared to planet Earth that he himself personally will forgive mankind of all of their sins, and he will restore the offspring of Adam back to where they used to be when God used to walk in the cool of the day in and out and among his creation. That is the gospel of grace accomplished through his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, when the apostle told the Greeks in Athens about it this way, he put it this way. He said, truly, these times of ignorance, God has overlooked. But now he's commanded all men everywhere to repent. Because he has appointed a day in which he's going to judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. And he's given assurance of all of this by raising him up from the dead. So the good news of the grace of God is, God is willing to restore you today to the lofty position of sons and daughters of God. He's done all the work. All that's required of you is to repent and believe the gospel. That's the first words out of the mouth of the Lord Jesus when you read the Gospel of Mark. Repent and believe the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel. Now, verse 25, he said, indeed, now I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, you will see my face no more. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, that's where the word bishop comes from, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, watch, this is verse 31, Acts 20, 31. Therefore, watch, and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone, night and day, with tears. Wow, what a ministry, huh? For 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone, day and night, night and day, right? Warn, warn, warn. With tears. You know what? They must have gotten tired of this guy. What do you think? 3 years of this. I mean, if I warn people once sometimes, others say I'm some mean-spirited fruitcake. I mean, try 3 years of that. Then for some, it's hello, First United Methodist. Or hello, First Presbyterian. Or hello anywhere away from this crazy guy going around warning people that Jesus is coming back soon. Or that he's commanded all men everywhere to repent because he's appointed a day that he's going to judge the world by the man whom he's ordained. Warning people to get right with God. Get me away from this crazy Italian, right? Warning me that judgment is coming. Now, Paul did this night and day for 3 years. You know, when I got to be thinking last night, when I was going over this sermon, I've been doing that 13 years here. And I don't apologize for it. Except for the tears. And I guess that makes him a better man than me. And it means he's been to the other side and I haven't. And he knows what's awaiting people. Right? But we've got it written down. I try to soften the blow on me. He says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one will give an account of the things done in the body, whether good or evil. Then he says, knowing therefore the phobu, fear, New King James says terror, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. You know what? Maybe if I had gone up to the third heaven and I've seen the face of Jesus, maybe I'd be here crying too every week, night in and night out, warning and teaching and warning everyone, because I've been to the other side and I know what's awaiting mankind for refusing Jesus Christ. Then maybe I'd be crying in here every week too. Now, verse 32, let's finish this chapter. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all of those who are sanctified. I have coveted no one's silver or gold or their clothing. I think he walked around half naked most of the time, right? I mean, why else would he say that? I don't even want your clothes. Who would say that? Because this is what a real apostle looked like. I bet if you saw an apostle, they'd have a bashed up forehead. I mean, they got beat up so much and abused. Paul said, we are the off-scouring of all people if you saw him. How would you spot an apostle? He wouldn't be wearing a three-piece suit. He'd be half naked or completely naked. I have coveted no one's silver or gold or their clothes. Yes, you yourselves know how that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who were with me. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them. Just picture yourself on this beach with these guys. When he said these things, he knelt down and he prayed with them all. Then they all cried together. They all wept freely and they fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words that he said, that they would never see his face again. And they never did. So they accompanied him to the ship. And there's chapter 20. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Apostle Paul and Peter and these great men of faith and women. Great examples for us. Help us to have the kind of faith and endurance that they had. Help us to do like they did. Help us to count it all joy when we encounter various trials. Help us to always remember the testing of our faith develops endurance. Help us, too, to always take serious these words here you've spoken to us here today. I pray for those who believe but have not confessed. Maybe in this house or watching or hearing on the radio here coming up this week, watching on YouTube. Maybe you believe in your heart, but you haven't confessed with your mouth. Let me encourage you today to get up and to get out of the boat and to say, I believe in Jesus Christ and I confess him. The Lord Jesus said, if you confess me before people, then I will confess you before my Father and his angels up in heaven. May you confess his name today. Call on the name of the Lord. Like the Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. We call on your name here today. And we praise and exalt you here today, Lord. And it's in your name that we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to WGOD Radio, the teaching ministry of Dr. Paul Esposito from Merritt Island, Florida. To contact Pastor Paul, write to him at elected77@gmail.com. The church's website is islandcommunitychurch.net. The videos of Pastor Paul's sermons are available on our YouTube channel, Island Community Church. Be with us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.